Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear about Navy Week here in Minnesota, and we'll learn how to locate veteran-owned businesses for products and services you may need. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military children play an important role in the life of a military family. They give our service members encouragement, love, and hope for the future. They're a special group, and in times of separation from their military parent, they have a unique set of challenges. We've learned over the years that one of the best ways to nurture and empower our military children is by connecting them with others in the same situation. They might be the only one in their school with a parent in the military, but there are others going through the same things across the state. This month, more than 200 National Guard youth are spending a week at Camp Ripley, making friends with other military kids. In addition to learning some military traditions like marching, calling cadence, and retiring the American flag, the youth, ages 10 to 15, will experience a week jam-packed with fun. They'll complete an Army obstacle course, learn archery, shoot on the rifle range, ride in military vehicles, go canoeing and swimming, and have plenty of campfire time. But besides just being fun, one of the goals of the camp is to assist them in gaining an understanding of why their Guard member serves in our National Guard. The idea for a youth education program for the Minnesota National Guard was first established in 1988. By 1991, the first annual camp welcomed 100 kids and 35 volunteers. Since that time, the youth camp program has developed into a nonprofit organization led by a board of directors and have connected hundreds and hundreds of children and volunteers. Make sure your military youth takes part in camp this summer. Registration is open. Find out more about this and other youth programs at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now again in the studio is Brian Scon, who is president of the Navy League here in Minnesota. Brian, welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate all the times you've had me on.
Brian, you've got a big week coming up next week. I think you refer to it as Navy Week. What's that all about?
Well, the Navy brings in multiple assets here. And what's interesting is they only assign a few Navy Weeks per summer. And the Minnesota area, the state of Minnesota, has gotten two since 2014. I think in part because of our support for the boat, USS Minnesota, SSN 783.
And, of course, for our listeners, if you go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and put in USS Minnesota, we were out at Norfolk for the commissioning of that submarine and a fantastic platform for the Navy. And we have a lot of information on the site for that. Now, Brian, you've got some special folks coming into town, and we've got someone on the line from Hawaii that's going to be here all next week. Do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, absolutely. A real friend of Minnesota because he's one of us, Admiral Fritz Rogge. He's the commanding officer of Pacific Fleet Submarine Forces. Admiral.
Admiral, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. And Brian, great to have a chance to talk to you again. We've always benefited greatly from the support that we've received from the Navy League. And on behalf of Commander Brian Tanaka, the commanding officer of USS Minnesota, I can give a Minnesota your shout out and extend his appreciation for the great support that the ship and crew feels from their namesake state.
Thank you, sir. Admiral, I understand that you've got a real close Minnesota connection. You went to the University of Minnesota.
Ah, sure. You betcha.
Very good, sir. Hawaii hasn't changed you too much, or the Navy.
Well, usually, I have to spend about 30 minutes on the telephone with my dad to recover my Minnesota accent. But so that's been kind of blended out. But yeah, I was born and raised in Minneapolis. Went to high school. As you mentioned, I'm a proud Golden Gopher and an alumnus of the mechanical engineering program. As a way of paying for school, I joined the Navy Reserve Officer Training Corps, the ROTC, there on campus, and that got me my commission in the Navy. And I was very confident that I would do my initial obligation and, enjoy travel, adventure, seeing the world, which is certainly one of the things the Navy offers, and fully expected to be returning to Minnesota to go work in a working in an office somewhere, but I was pleasantly surprised to discover how much I enjoyed the Navy life. I love the submarine force. Most importantly, I love working with and helping the young sailors. And fortunately, my wife has had the same perspective. We've enjoyed our journey. And so now here I am 30 years later into a Navy career, still wake up every morning with a spring in my step and a smile on my face and practically skipping to work, my wife tells me.
Well, Admiral, it took you 30 years so far, but you are a rear admiral, a two-star admiral in the Navy. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. And I'm sure my ROTC classmates would be just as surprised to hear that as I am.
And, Admiral, you got real tough duty. You're at the headquarters of the Submarine Force U.S. Pacific Fleet in Hawaii. That's pretty hard to take, isn't it, sir?
Well, I think, the Navy, because of the nature of what we do, every Navy home port is a great one because we do have this affinity for waterfront property. And we've had great experiences in duty stations in Connecticut, in Virginia, in the state of Washington. And this is our second time here in Hawaii, and I would have to say it certainly is among our favorites. It's hard to have a bad day in Hawaii.
Admiral, have you found that there are a lot of Minnesotans serving in the United States Navy?
We do have. We have about 4,000 sailors, active duty and reserve, officer and enlisted, serving the military right now. And I think probably about an equal number of veterans who have served and or retired and returned to the state of Minnesota, such as yourself.
Admiral, our listeners are going to be real interested in an update on the USS Minnesota. I know they operate out of the Atlantic, and of course you've got the Pacific subfleet. Can you give us any kind of update on the USS Minnesota?
Well, sure, I'd be happy to. So, as I mentioned, I've been in contact with the commanding officer, and in fact, Brian and I had worked together previously. So, we've got a long-standing relationship, which actually is not unusual. The America's Submarine Force is actually the smallest of the major warfare communities of naval aviation, surface warfare, and then submarine warfare. So we're pretty small. We're pretty tight. I guess we would consider ourselves to be an elite group. I'm sure every community feels the same about themselves, and I'm sure appropriately so. Brian and I have been in touch. The ship, as was reported upon, was commissioned a couple of years ago as the Navy's newest and proudest, and I was actually privileged to be in Norfolk on the pier during that commissioning ceremony. There are a few things as inspiring and motivational as seeing a ship come to life and having its sailors go and man the rails. And since that time, the ship has done what most ships do. They go through a period of training at sea and then returning to port for repair and maintenance and modernization. The ship right now is deeply in the throes of a pre-deployment period, so a more focused period of time, which is where all the ship's activities are geared around ensuring the readiness of the ship and the readiness of the crew to sail across the ocean and potentially go in harm's way, which is what we do in the Navy, in order to accomplish missions that are important to the national security of the United States. So those are operations that we refer to as deployments. So the ship is preparing for her first deployment later this fall.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Fritz Rogge on Minnesota Military Radio. Admiral, when we were at the commissioning for the USS Minnesota, we had the opportunity to talk to the Secretary of the Navy, and he made it pretty clear to us that this weapons platform was one of the best in the United States military, and that we pretty much had solid control of the oceans. Is that still the case today, sir?
Well, I think it is. I am a victim of my own experience, as we all are, and my experience is one in which the U.S. Navy, and in particular the U.S. Submarine Force, have largely been unchallenged on the high seas over the last couple of decades. I think, we continue to enjoy ships and technology and equipment which is which sets the standard across the world. It is the finest that anyone manufactures in the world. But even the most impressive technology, even a brand new ship like the USS Minnesota, is only as good as its people. In fact, if you think about it, a great warship like that without a crew is only capable of doing one thing, and that's sitting alongside a pier and rusting. So it is the crew that brings the ship to life, just as we saw during the ship's commissioning ceremony. But more importantly, it's the crew and their experience, their training, their proficiency that really gives us our competitive advantage. And frankly, the sailors that we have in the submarine force, I think, are objectively the best in the United States Navy. I think everybody knows that for someone to join any branch of the service, it requires an act of volunteering. And we are blessed with great, great volunteers in all the branches of the services. But someone could volunteer to join the Army and be involuntarily assigned to an artillery unit, or could volunteer to join the Navy and be involuntarily assigned to work in an air wing, on an aircraft carrier, things like that. But service in the submarine force requires a second decision to volunteer. So we are an all-volunteer force within an all-volunteer Navy, and that frankly, allows us to pick selectively the cream in the crop, and because we are relatively small in size, we are blessed with great, great talent to choose from who want to become like us, who want to be submariners. So again, it's those people that make the biggest difference and that really give us the advantages that we enjoy at sea.
Admiral, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'd like to talk about Navy Week, because you're going to come back to Minnesota and join us. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with more with Rear Admiral Fritz Rogge, the commander of the Submarine Force of the United States Pacific Fleet. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Brian Skahn from the Navy League Minnesota and Rear Admiral Fritz Rogge, who is the commander of the Submarine Force U.S. Pacific Fleet. Brian, next week is Navy Week here in Minneapolis, and what does that mean? And I know the Admiral's coming to town. He's got a full schedule, but can you just explain to us Navy Week once more?
Well, what's interesting about Navy Week is it combines public and corporate engagements, as well as civic engagements. And what's exciting is we have three guys from USS Minnesota coming into town to do some community outreach, community events. And what's really touching is we've got the U.S. Navy leapfrogs. And what's important about that, this is their first public engagement since their mishap in late May. So they're back in and doing what they do best, which is jumping out of airplanes with the Navy SEAL on their parachutes and promoting the U.S. Navy.
And Admiral Rogge, you're going to have to leave paradise to fly home to Minneapolis. Has it been a while since you've been back here, sir?
Well, I was privileged to be back just a couple of years ago, and again, enjoyed great hospitality as always. It was not quite as robust a series of events as what we will have this week with a Navy Week, but similarly had an opportunity to conduct some local engagement, meet with some of our Navy reservists, some of our veterans, and of course, key community leaders.
And Admiral, can you walk us through some of the events you're looking forward to next week?
Well, I'm looking forward to all of them, of course.
yes, sir.
It's a spectrum of things. I'll be going back to my alma mater at the U and meeting with the president, and going back to the mechanical engineering department, where there's some pretty exciting research going on that is funded by and or contributes to the Office of Naval Research. The Navy is a highly technological community, and so we are always seeking to push the leading edge of technology in order to improve our warfighting capability. I have several engagements with our industry partners. As Brian had mentioned, I look forward to being able to be in the crowd and observe the leapfrogs during their performance demonstration. But of particular significance and poignance is we're now coming up on the 10th anniversary of the I-35W bridge collapse. And so there is a small remembrance ceremony that that's being conducted on Tuesday. And there were perhaps a lot of listeners don't know, Tom, but we had Navy divers 10 years ago that contributed to those recovery efforts. And so the organizers were kind enough to provide us the opportunity to bring a couple of those very same divers back to participate in the ceremony. And so that's, again, a moment of great poignance, but I appreciate that opportunity. And then, as I mentioned, the Aquatennial Torchlight Parade, and I think you know, there might be a chance to take in a Twins game as well, which, of course, is always a highlight, particularly this season.
Brian, I understand the Admiral gets to throw out the first pitch.
And that would be Monday night.
Monday night. Admiral, you've been practicing on your pitching.
I have. I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to go with the slider or bring the heat.
Circle change, sir. Circle change.
Circle change, yes.
Well, Admiral, you must be looking forward to a trip back home and a busy schedule next week.
Yes, absolutely. You know, of course, you know, Minnesota is my home. You know, was for the first 20 years of my life. Obviously, since I joined the Navy, and since we don't station submarines on the Mississippi or in Lake Superior, you know, my duties have carried me far afield, quite literally around the world multiple times. I always appreciate the chance when I do get to get home, reconnect. Obviously, I still have a lot of family and friends in the area. But I particularly look forward to the chance to try and engage and be able to tell the Navy story. The real purpose of the Navy Week is to be able to go to places like Minnesota that don't have a large permanent Navy presence and be able to help try and share with Minnesotans why what the Navy does, and more importantly why they should care, because frankly, in this globalized world, everything depends upon trade. Fully a third of Minnesota's exports go to the Far East, and that trade is enabled by freedom of the seas, and the Navy's in the business of ensuring freedom of the seas.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Fritz Rogge, Commander of Submarine Force, U.S. Pacific Fleet, on Minnesota Military Radio. Brian, it's a big week next week. On your website for the Navy League, do you have a list of all the activities and where people can go to meet the Admiral?
We don't yet, but that is happening.
All right. Well, I understand for the listeners, if they want to go to outreach.navy.mil/navy-weeks/Minneapolis-St. Paul, They can find all of the activities, and we'll post that website on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook so that you can get it. That was a long website, but go there or go to the Navy League, give them a call. They'll tell you about all those activities, Brian.
We'll link that in our website.
Okay, so the Navy League website will have a link to that. You can find out where the Admiral's going to be and maybe hear him tell some stories about the United States Pacific Fleet Submarine Force. Admiral, we heard a rumor that you've been nominated for promotion. What's next for you, sir?
Well, that will be pending Senate confirmation. But you are correct. It was just announced last week that I have the great privilege of having been nominated for promotion to Vice Admiral. So that would be a third star. And for assignment as president of the National Defense University, which is a joint organization, so university for members of Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, and civilian government counterparts. And that's located at Fort McNair in Washington, D.C., on the banks of the Anacostia and the Potomac. And I've actually spent the majority of my days when I haven't been underwater holding my breath, the majority of my time in Washington, D.C., where the business of the Navy is conducted. So that is my second home, and we will never be eager to leave Hawaii, but we certainly would look forward to the opportunity to go back to Washington and to try and continue to contribute to the development of our joint forces. Again, pending Senate confirmation.
Sir, sounds like a great opportunity to get that third star. We always like to see one of our own Minnesotans succeed, but you'll be leaving paradise and going to politics, sir.
No politicians here. And fortunately, you know, the real strength of our system is that, you know, the military by design, in fact, by law, is completely apolitical. So when governments change, administrations change, leaders change, whether it's, you know, Navy leaders, defense leaders, national leaders, it's, you know, largely business as usual for us.
Except a little different atmosphere in Washington, D.C. I hope that's going to be a good assignment for you, sir. We had a question from one of our listeners, and it comes from Kelly. She's asking about the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, and she wanted to know, is the public able to attend the christening? I know that there's going to be a keel authentication coming up after the first of the year. Do you have any update for us on the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, sir?
Well, I'll say two things. The first, Ms. Jody Green, the Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy, who I mentioned earlier, has been designated as the sponsor for the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. So it's a great, great honor for Jody, and I think for all Minnesotans. And again, she is a Minnesota native as well. But the second thing I'd mention is that the gentleman in the studio with you can probably better answer that, because, Brian, I understand that you've been designated as the chairman of the commissioning committee. Is that correct?
That's correct. We were the ones who lobbied. The Navy League of Minnesota lobbied for another ship after we commissioned USS Minnesota. And actually, Minneapolis-St. Paul has a submarine legacy as well with SSN 708, serving from 1984 to 2008. So we're excited about that. In fact, Lockheed Martin just gave me the first pictures of cut steel, which is not put together yet, but we're going to be there. In terms of to the question to the reader, the public commissioning we hope to do in Duluth, and that is the final ceremony, and that is where the opportunity for the public to join us.
So we'll keep them appraised on that, because we're going to go over there and visit while the Minneapolis-St. Paul is being put together, and we'll
near Green Bay.
On the other side of that Green Bay football state. Admiral, we've got just less than a minute left. If for our 200,000-plus listeners all over Minnesota, if they're thinking about a career in the United States Navy, what would you have to say to them, sir?
Well, I would probably say the same thing that President John F. Kennedy said some 50 years ago when he was addressing a group of midshipmen. And, of course, President Kennedy was himself a naval officer. And what he reflected on at the time, considering his own naval service, was, I can imagine no more rewarding a career. And any man who may be asked in this century what he did to make his life worthwhile can respond with a great deal of pride and satisfaction, I served in the United States Navy. I think, every listener out there ought to appreciate that there are tremendous opportunities in the Navy, opportunities that I think, through which most young Americans can meet their own personal goals, whether it's travel and adventure, whether it's education with the very lucrative GI Bill college benefit, whether it's technical training in the world's most advanced technology, or whether it's leadership opportunities, which are given at a very, very young age. So I was a 23-year-old lieutenant junior grade driving a billion-dollar submarine with sole responsibility. So those are opportunities that don't exist, in most other forms or walks of life. And, in fact, people make best-selling books and make blockbuster movies out of what we do for a living. It's easy sometimes to forget about how inherently exciting and important what we do is. And that's the final thought I'd leave you with, Tom, is that service in the Navy, in particular submarine force, is really an opportunity to do something of consequence, something that really matters. So thank you for your time, Tom. Brian, great talking to you again.
Admiral, thanks for joining us today from your headquarters in Hawaii, and we look forward to having you in Minnesota next week. And Brian, thanks for joining us today on the show to talk about Navy Week in Minnesota. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll find out how to locate veteran-owned businesses for products and services you may need here in Minnesota. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and as I told you on this part of the show, we're going to show you how to locate veteran-owned businesses for products and services that you may need. And here to talk about that is Joe Johnson, who is the founder, owner, everything of a company called Trust Vets. Their website is trustvets.com. And Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Joe, I want to start at the beginning. This is an operation that you brainstormed, or maybe you had a nightmare one night and you woke up and you decided, I want to help veterans. You're not a veteran yourself.
I'm not, sir. No, sir.
And why, what caused you to think about helping veterans find veteran-owned businesses to work with?
Well, and for me, it's, you know, I never served the United States Armed Forces, and that's always, you know, I've always wished I could do more. And so I've set out to build Trust Vets as a way to serve those who have. And so with Trust Vets, it comes down to a real simple concept is, what if the average person could choose between doing business with random strangers and doing business with American military veterans? And I think a great deal of the community would prefer, all things being equal, to do business with the veterans in their community, to serve those who have served us, and to find that higher level of quality and service and accountability that comes with doing business with a vet.
So how many years you've been at this now?
Website's been live for 4 years, climbing well, doing great things. We've got lots of industries on there, painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, you name it. If you need products or services, it's a simple, free resource for the community to find veterans in their local communities.
Now, Joe, I know that you check out the veterans when they apply for membership. So you look at their discharge certificates. You confirm that they are actually veterans.
We do, absolutely. Every member of Trust Vets is a verified veteran of the United States Armed Forces. We've only in 4 years had three folks that we crossed paths with that were not able to prove that they were veterans, and of course they were not allowed into the network. But every member is very proud to have served the Armed Forces and to be able to continue serving today.
So if our listeners want to find some products or services from a veteran-owned businesses, they can rest assured that you've checked it out. You've seen their DD-214. You've seen their discharge certificate. And you've met them. You've interviewed them. And you've met some characters over those years, too, haven't you?
Absolutely, sir. It's a great community to be part of.
I know that you've got one gentleman in there that had quite a background, and he teaches some concealed carry classes, and he had an interesting career, didn't he?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And you know, and part of what, you know, one member, Don Raleigh, as an example, he builds world-class websites and credit card processing. But digging back in a little bit further, knowing that he was a sentinel at the Tomb of the Unknown, that he was on presidential duty with Ronald Reagan, those things, the backstory and the things he's already done to serve our community, I love the fact that he's helping and working on our website, but that I can introduce him to other people who need a website because it's an exceptional level of professional that comes, you know, professionalism that comes from dealing with these folks.
And there's a lot of stories out there. I've met a lot of your members, and they do have interesting backgrounds. Veterans, you know, have been through some things, and some of them live some colorful lives. But one of the things that I've found valuable about TrustVets.com is if I need a vendor, if I need an electrician, if I need a painter, if I need any of those tradesmen, I can go on that site and I can find a veteran in that trade, because you've got them listed by trade and by occupation. And as soon as I talk to them on the phone and tell them I'm a veteran, they're a veteran, we kind of have that connection. And then they say, how can we help you? And usually you get a pretty darn good price.
Absolutely. These, you know, the folks on our website are so proud for this opportunity to continue serving not only their fellow veterans, but the larger community. They want to get that phone call. They want to have an opportunity to earn your business and to do right by you. And so for anyone in the community, if you need your roof fixed or your lawn mowed, or even if you just need a new insurance agent or a box of chocolates, you can go to TrustVets.com and join us in doing business with veterans.
Now, we're talking to Joe Johnson from Trust Vets, and their website is trustvets.com. So if you need to hire somebody for a product or service, just go there. You can find some trustworthy people, and rest assured that he's checked them out. They are veterans. But how's it working for the guys that sign up? Is it producing some business, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. There's been tremendous results. You know, there's some local companies, as an example, TCF Bank is using primarily the members of Trust Vets to handle all of their foreclosed properties, to make sure they're clean, to make sure they're painted, to make sure the drains work. They come in and they're trusting the veterans of Trust Vets to protect their investment in their properties. And it's great to see companies stepping forward, and especially for, you know, local military nonprofits that have come to Trust Vets to find veterans to do their credit card processing, their website, their printing, their signs. It's a great opportunity for them to reinvest that money directly into the veteran community and get their products and services from veterans that are already doing business in the community.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking with Joe Johnson, the founder of Trust Vets, And you can find information on the membership of Trust Vets at trustvets.com. And Joe, how are you doing for members?
We're growing strong. You know, this was a blank sheet of paper 4 years ago. Now we've neared 400 members. And I think the greatest thing, or the most common heard thing I hear with our networking events and meetings, is I didn't realize how much I missed the camaraderie. When veteran business owners and veteran business professionals that are employees at companies throughout Minnesota have a chance to plug in and surround themselves in business with their fellow veterans, it's powerful. And they're accomplishing amazing things with and together for one another.
Joe, tell us how you can become a member.
Becoming a member is simple. You just visit trustvets.com. On the top or bottom of the page is get listed button there. Again, once you submit your profile, it's very simple, like building a Facebook profile. We'll make it very simple for you, but just trust that we will reach out to verify your military service. From there, we can instantly introduce you to hundreds of fellow veteran business professionals.
And if our listeners go to trustvets.com, they can just click on the directory and they can find all of your members.
Absolutely. Yep. There's search features on the homepage. If you stop and type in painting or chocolates or even greeting cards, you type in what you need there, it will bring you to the veteran professionals that can help take care of you. Now, we don't help veterans find jobs. We serve veterans that are already doing business. You can literally go there today, and I challenge the listeners, go to Trust Vets and find at least one veteran where you can pick up the phone and do a little business with them. Maybe that's a box of chocolates from an Army veteran, or a box of greeting cards for a Navy SEAL, or from wherever you are in the state of Minnesota. If you need a new insurance agent, if you need some of the other professionals listed on the website, we literally have veterans you can do business with from all over the state of Minnesota. And for many people, they want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions, because you're going to put the money you were going to spend anyway in the hands of a veteran that appreciates the opportunity to earn your business.
Now, in addition, when you join, in addition to being listed on that directory, if you will, of veteran-owned businesses, you also hold some networking events around the Twin Cities.
Yes, sir. We host consistent monthly networking meetings north, south, and east of the Twin Cities here. We do after-hour events, networking. Next week, we're doing our big member appreciation barbecue, which is open to all members and supporters. And for veterans specifically, we invite you to come and kick the tires and shake some hands first. Let us answer any questions you have and see what we're building, because once you plug in and once you start surrounding yourself with veterans, we trust you're going to want to be part of this. It's powerful.
Now, if you attend one of those meetings and you're lucky, can you find a nice, good banker?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, you know, whether you need a banker, an insurance professional, staffing help, if you need someone to do printing, promotional products, signs, you can literally surround yourself. One example is Gary White. He served 6 tours overseas with the United States Army. And today he's the senior vice president of lending for Riverland Bank. So for veterans, whether they've been in business for years or are just starting out, if they need a banker they can count on, Gary can take care of whatever they need. It's a chance for veterans to find folks like that to surround themselves in business.
Now, Joe, we only got about a minute left, but let's talk about eligibility. They have to be a veteran. They can either own a business or just be in business. You've got bankers that work for big organizations, but they're veterans. And if you want to find a veteran that works at like Wells Fargo or somewhere, you can probably find them in there. Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. Veteran business owners, but also those veteran employees. Just today on Facebook, we introduced David Miller. He's the general manager of Maury's. He doesn't own Maury's, but he's a United States Marine that wants to continue to take care of his neighbors through his profession. Gary White doesn't own Riverland, but he's a proud veteran just the same, and he wants an opportunity to continue serving here at home. So I encourage you to go to trustvets.com and find some veterans in your community you can join us in doing business with.
And this would be great for veterans all over the state if they wanted to get on that directory and come to some networking meetings and meet some other veterans in business. It'd be a great place to start.
Absolutely. There's hundreds of veterans here that can't wait to shake your hand and bring you into the network and help you up as well.
Joe, you're doing great work, and appreciate the brainstorm or the nightmare you had when you started Trust Vets. And for our listeners, check them out, trustvets.com. And Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Very much appreciated, Tom. Thank you, sir.
This is Joe Johnson, the founder of Trust Vets. You can find the information at trustvets.com. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to speak with the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about all some new things going on out there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Veterans in our five state veterans homes enjoy the benefits received from volunteer contributions. Our volunteers contribute significantly to the success of our operation. By sharing laughter, smiles, or just a friendly ear, they improve the quality of life and morale of our residents. Our veterans enjoy a wide variety of recreational activities, thanks to the generous donations of time and money from communities around the state. It is impossible to calculate the amount of caring and sharing these volunteers provide to residents at our home. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them how much we appreciate all that they have done. If you or someone you know would like to make a difference, please visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Sir, Commissioner Shalito had a nice message there. He couldn't get everything he needs done without some volunteers, and I know you have some volunteers out at the Minneapolis VA as well.
Oh, gosh, we just had our annual volunteer event, and so we have about 1,700 great volunteers, number of hours that they work, and we've totaled up their in-kind contributions and everything that they give us, and it is significant. It's millions of dollars worth of help that we get from our volunteers, and I think what most veterans would tell you, they are some of the friendliest faces you will find when you come to this medical center. So our red vest volunteers, you know, first impression escorts, we are really blessed to have a group of volunteers like we have here in Minneapolis.
Director, the July issue of the Minneapolis St. Paul magazine has its annual listing of top doctors as selected by their peers in various subspecialties, and I understand the Minneapolis VA has a lot of them.
Yeah, Tom, thanks. You know, this is one of those things where I think a lot of times people don't recognize the quality of the physicians and the staff that we have over here at the medical center. And so this year, we had 11 of our doctors who were nominated by their peers selected as top doctors in Minnesota. And so, you know, really ranging in specialties from surgeons to dermatologists to physical medicine specialists, neurologists. And one of the things we were able to do this year for your listeners who get the July issue, you know, we were able to put a nice picture in there of the staff, at least 7 of our 11 docs who were recognized. And the nice thing about that, again, that tells the community that, you know, we have good doctors. They're taking good care of our patients. And we, like other healthcare providers in the community, really recruit and have some of the best physicians in the Twin Cities and in the state of Minnesota. So, yeah, it's a great article. We're going to do the same thing for our nurses here very soon. They have an issue featuring nurses in the Twin Cities area soon. But the July issue was doctors. Good issue. Really, really proud to feature some of our physicians.
Director, I think sometimes we forget that you work very closely with the University of Minnesota and their doctors as well.
Yeah, most of our physicians have an appointment at the University of Minnesota, and in part because we train so many medical students and residents over here at the VA. So in order for us to have that training relationship, our physicians, our professors, associate professors on the staff at the University of Minnesota, and a number of the physicians who are more dedicated to the mission over at the University of Minnesota do surgery and do other cases over here as well. So great partners. We were the second affiliate relation in the nation, so we're proud of that. It's a great affiliation. It really helps our patients.
Director, August is coming up next month, and there's a MACV stand-down coming.
Every year we do the MACV sponsors it, and we're active participants, and so it's going to be Tuesday and Wednesday, the 1st and 2nd of August, at the Boy Scout base camp over in the upper post at Fort Snelling. And, you know, lots of services for veterans, you know, meals, haircuts, clothing. We're going to be offering some primary care clinics, eye clinics, dental screening, you know, it's a good event because about 800 to 900 veterans at risk for homelessness typically attend. And it's one of the most important things that we do. So it's the 1st and 2nd of August, always well-attended, good events, music, services for homeless veterans. So really a highlight of my year to be able to attend that every year.
Director, I understand there was an update on some health care that you can provide for veterans with other than honorable discharges. Is this something new, sir?
Yeah, so Secretary Shulkin, our new VA secretary, his highest priority is, clinical priority, is taking care of veterans who are at risk of suicide. And so, you know, sadly, as many of your listeners know, on average, 20 veterans a day take their lives. And so he is committed to making inroads in that, and we have a program called Getting to Zero, where we're sort of laying all sorts of extra effort to ensure that we identify and treat and really reduce that number of suicides amongst our veterans. So he has authorized us to take care of veterans who have received other than honorable discharges. And so, you know, previously those veterans, were not eligible for health care, but under Dr. Shulkin's new guidance. And really effective sort of around the 5th of July, or effective on the 5th of July, we're offering emergency mental health care to veterans. And this includes, care through our emergency rooms. The vet centers offers care for those veterans and residential treatment, inpatient. And so, again, it's a different way of our being able to approach this very lofty goal of trying to eliminate veterans' suicide. And it is, of course, a big effort. It's a community-wide effort. 14 of those 20 veterans don't even get their health care through the VA. So doing a lot of outreach, doing a lot of changes to make sure that veterans who have a need get their need met when they come here to the medical center. So it's an important initiative. It's a new way of us to think about how we take care of them. But there's a lot of need in this area, and there are estimated to be about 500,000 veterans who have other than honorable discharges. And so this is a means for them to get emergency health care for those who are at risk for suicide.
Keep up the good work, sir, and thanks for joining us again today.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for listening to this edition. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brian Skahn, Rear Admiral Fritz Rogge, Joe Johnson, Director Pat Kelly, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet some troops just back from an Egypt deployment and meet the folks from Veterans Homeward Bound. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.